Hear NFL legends, players, coaches, and media members from around the country sharing their insights and stories with us year-round. Here on Thursday night, Tailgate.
All right, now back with us here on Thursday night, Tailgate is sports, Pittsburgh Sports Talk radio host and another one of our TNT guest Hall of Famers, and that's Paul Alexander. You can hear Paul sharing his insights on 93.7 The Fan up in Pittsburgh. And like we always say, nobody knows Pittsburgh sports better or as well as Paul does. He was a member of our 2016 guest Hall of Fame class, and we're very excited he is back with us again tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Paul, Chris and Bob, how are you, my friend?
Hi, Paul. We're deluged with snow, shoveling out. We're
no
going to be okay.
Yeah? Is everything going to be all right? My goodness,
together.
Bob's got a foot
fine
over there
we're
in
fine
Connecticut.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Here, Paul. No, it's crazy, isn't it?
We're not in winter yet, right?
No, not quite. It's always the 21st, right?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, it's a pretty big fall snowstorm, I guess.
Well, Paul, we got to get right into it, my friend. As happy as I was when the Steelers were 11-0, as concerned as I am now at 11-2, help me feel better. What are your thoughts?
Trending in the wrong direction, but here, one good news, Chris, and of course we all do. The Bengals are up next, so there's really no better news than that. Seriously, I mean, the Jets and the Bengals, I mean, it's a tough call for the worst team right now in the NFL, but I think the Steelers will feel pretty good about themselves come Tuesday morning. However, that could be kind of short-lived because, you know, the Devin Bush injury was tough. And, you know, Robert Spillane filled in admirably, and then, of course, he goes down as well. And I think the Bud Dupree injury really took away a dominant Super Bowl contending number one type defense because, as we saw against Buffalo, T.J. Watt is, you know, everyone would, you know, that understands football would understand that, well, when you have bookend dynamic pass rushers, it's very difficult to scheme against offensively because you can't, you know, basically put extra personnel to one side or the other because they're coming from both sides. Now you're going to take TJ Watt away and we're going to see what Alex Highsmith or whomever else is going to come in there is able to do. And what we saw against Buffalo in the second half, not nearly enough. And unfortunately that coincides with Ben Roethlisberger hijacking his own offense and deciding that he's going to throw on every down, whether it's third and one, fourth and two, whatever the case may be. You know, the run-pass option is no longer an option. It's going to be a pass. And the pick six at the end of the half there was so predictable and so awful and so alarming and so scary that hopefully they're scared straight to a point where they're going to tell Ben that, you know, we appreciate your input, but we're going to call the plays going forward. We're going to hand the ball off occasionally. We're going to throw the ball downfield every once in a while. They became pathetically predictable. And as much as it bothered me that the national pundits, the Colin Cowherds of the world that were, you know, taking shots at the 11-0 Steelers, now they feel pretty good about their assessment that this is not a contending team. This is not a Super Bowl contender. This is a team that somehow, like, fake their way to 11-0, which is, I think, very difficult to do, but I think it really relied on the defense. And now that Bud Dupree is no longer available, it's just not what it was.
Yeah, to your point, and I'm wondering if the Bills really kind of gave a blueprint for what you can do against the defense with this personnel. If you double Cam Hayward and you double T.J. Watt, you're going to have time to throw the ball and you can pick this secondary apart. And now all of a sudden that number one defense is not so number one. I don't know. What do you think?
It's tough. And keep in mind, Joe Hayden was not available and that domino effect at the secondary, you take, you know, Sutton and Hilton out of their strengths. And, you know, they're great at what they do, but when you ask them to do more, all of a sudden, you know, they're role players. And when you have a group that understands their role and does their role very well, you could be outstanding. But when you're asked to do more than maybe you're capable of doing, all of a sudden it gets a little dicey. Now, Williamson, I think, you know, acquitted himself quite well at one of the inside spots. And I think, you know, with the green dot and calling the defenses, I thought he did very well. Having Hayden back, and again, it's the Bengals. So the Steelers need to, I think, really have one of those rocking chair kind of wins on Monday night where they just take care of business and say, you know, the assessment of our demise was greatly exaggerated. I hope they can say that after what they do against Cincinnati on Monday. But even though Kansas City is winning by, you know, very small margins and, you know, they've been a little shaky in some of their wins, you still never had a doubt that they were going to win. And that's kind of like the whole difference, like the eye test, that you have to really understand sports to understand what the eye test is about. You know, the Steelers in those 11 wins, guys, there were moments against Dallas, moments against Tennessee, moments against games thought they had under control. All of a sudden, you're like, oh, my God, they're going to lose this game. And you felt like the game was very much in jeopardy. While Kansas City may be in a close game, the outcome's never in doubt. You know they're going to win. You know Patrick Mahomes is not going to let his team lose. The Steelers, even though they were 11-0, a lot of those wins, five or six of those wins, a play or two, a moment or two, and they're on the wrong side of it. So they were a shaky, as much as that's hard to describe, their 11-0 was kind of shaky and precarious. Kansas City's, you know, 12-1, there's nothing shaky about it. They're legit.
Paul, you mentioned a moment ago, it seems like maybe Ben might be part of the problem on offense. I mean, I've heard, you know, Randy Fichtner talk about the offensive line. They don't run the football because the offensive line isn't built to be a run blocking team. When I don't even know what that means. Like, how's that possible? But I'm concerned by that, right? I mean, if what you're telling me is these guys can't run block, well, then you got the wrong guy. I mean, well, to your point, the offense feels like. Go ahead.
And let me explain that. And I think it's so insulting to an offensive line to be told they can't run block, because any offensive lineman worth their salt, they want to drive and power block. They want to do that. And believe me, David DeCastro and Marquise Pouncey, who are second level pulling, you know, I mean, they can still run block. But here's how you can't be a run blocking team. When it's 3rd and 1 and you're empty, there's no running back to be found on the football field. How are you going to be a drive blocking, run blocking team? When you have zero commitment as an organization to the run, well, you're in a 2-point stance, meaning you're standing, and your first move as an offensive lineman, when you're a pass first, pass only team, you take a step back. Now, run blockers, you watch, you know, Tennessee, and you watch some teams that are committed to run the football. They have guys in 3-point stances that are driving low and hard, and they're moving, you know, at the point of attack. They're winning at the point of attack. Now, when you don't even ask your team or your own line, but maybe on, you know, the token, and the Steelers, they have no commitment to the run. They have a token run game. Yeah, on first down, let's go ahead and give the ball to James Conner or to, you know, Jalen Samuels or to Benny Snell. We'll give you a run. Oh, that's just a run. Let's get away from the run. That's their commitment to the run. So I feel so badly for the running backs and the offensive linemen who are now being labeled as guys that can't do it, but there's no commitment to it. There's no attempt to actually do it. Every time, you know, they needed a yard, be it 4th down, be it 3rd down, they were in an empty set backfield with no running back. They're paying Derek Watt $4 million a year. They brought him in as a fullback. He's never lined up as a fullback. It's really mind-boggling. And when the Steelers were 5-6-0 and really rolling, I said, the only thing that can ruin this is when Ben gets really upset that he's only throwing for 200 yards and 2 touchdowns a game. Because Ben, even though he says all the right things, his actions tell you completely different feeling that if he's not throwing for 300 plus and 3 and 4 touchdowns a game, he's not okay. And that bothers me. You look at the, if you remember the first half against Tennessee, they had 2 possessions. Their first 2 possessions were textbook surgical, you know, drives that like were like 9-minute drives, run the ball, pass the ball, move the ball, control the ball. And they were perfect. And I just said, there's the blueprint. That's how the Steelers have to work offensively. As long as Ben is okay with that, they're going to be fine. But sure enough, Ben wasn't okay with it. And that's really where the offense went south. When Ben hijacked his own offense, decided to throw on every down. You're playing Washington, the football team. You're playing these horrible teams. You never trail in the game. Why are you throwing the ball 53 times? Why? Because Ben wants to.
Yeah.
And that's discouraging to me.
So that's where the rub is, right? I mean, I think Steeler fans are right now, you know, throwing darts at Randy Fichtner pitchers, right? Because they're blaming him for the play calls and they're not running the football. To your point, I for the life of me, I can't figure out why they signed Derek Watt. Why? What, you're not using him, to your point.
I mean, he's a good,
we're not putting him in the backfield. Yeah, that's nice. But
you can get one of those for $1 million, not $4 million.
That's right. And for crying out loud, you got the ball on the 1.5-yard line with what? It felt like 100 chances against Washington, and you can't poke that ball in there. First of all, why isn't Ben quarterback sneaking? Second of all, why isn't Derek Watt back there blocking? And why aren't you going to Benny Snell or, you know, to get a yard? Me drives me nuts, but I think Steeler Nation is blaming Fichtner for all of this, and it sounds like what you're saying is this is more Ben than it is Randy.
Well, Todd Haley tried to run the offense, but he tried to run an offense with some things that Ben wasn't, you know, cool with. So Ben decided that Todd was going to get fired, and he did. I mean, Ben, you know, you're making what, $35-40 million a year. An O coordinator is making maybe $1 million. The O coordinator has no chance. If the coordinator turns on you, you're done. So Ben ran Todd Haley out of town successfully. And then he brought in Coach Randy. Coach Randy's just, you know, an aw-shucks kind of good guy. And we're, you know, I have I have $100 million quarterback here. We're going to do what he wants. I mean, that's Randy Fichtner. If you want to blame him, he doesn't care. He'll take it. You know, he'll fall on the sword for Ben because Ben's his star. Ben's a 2-time Super Bowl champion, 3-time Super Bowl appearance. I mean, it's really unfortunate that Ben doesn't understand that what they had going on earlier with a run pass mix, with the ability to run the football when needed, you know, to spread the ball around a little bit, throw the ball downfield when needed, they were really an efficient offense. But now they're predictable and awful. I mean, they have their numbers in terms of yards per attempt, yards per completion are embarrassing. I mean, they're embarrassing how bad they are.
But, I hearken back. I've been thinking in the last couple of weeks, the lack of a running game. Isn't that what got Bruce Arians run out of town? Like, you know, Tomlin, we want to run the football, you know, the Steeler personality, right? Now, you know, our franchise is based on running the football and playing good defense and all that sort of stuff. And they were, you know, Arians and Ben were throwing the ball too much. They didn't have the right mix. And the next thing you know, Arians is retiring, you know, for a couple of days and then leaving town for Arizona. It seems like we're right back there.
Yeah. And the common denominator would be what?
Right.
That.
Ben.
And a weird insecurity that he's not mentioned, and, you know, the Tom Brady, Drew Brees, you know, back in the day, Peyton Manning. Ben always felt like he was overlooked, even though he's probably going to be, I'm not sure, our first ballot Hall of Famer, but he's a Hall of Fame quarterback. And even though I'm very critical of Ben, I love him as a quarterback, but he can't be allowed to run the show. if Ben is given direction and told what to do, I mean, just think about, like Terrell Suggs breaking his nose and still making a completion, and some of the heroic things that Ben has done to lead the Steelers. I love Ben as a quarterback, and people get confused by what I say, but Ben cannot be, left to his own, devices. Ben needs to be controlled. Ben needs to be told what to do as a player. And right now, he has carte blanche to run the offense, and he's running it into the ground. I mean, he has taken an 11-0 team that was really humming at like 5-6-0, and now they're trending in the wrong direction. And now you're actually wondering if they're going to win another game. I mean, they'll beat Cincinnati on Monday. After that, I mean, think about the playoffs now. And Chris, I know you're a big Steeler guy. I mean, their postseason history is almost as bad as the Penguins of late. The Penguins have been one and done their last two postseasons, and the Steelers haven't been any better. And they haven't been to the postseason in 2 years. So this is a step in the right direction. They've already qualified for the postseason. But at the same time, do you have a good feeling about how they're going to do in the playoffs? I don't.
Yeah, no. Agreed. Bob, questions for Paul?
Yeah, Paul, it's always an honor, and happy holidays to you and yours. I want to stay right on that topic. Thank you. About the Steelers and maybe Tomlin's role in all this, Paul. I mean, I think we remember talking last year. A lot of us thought, and kind of universally, that Tomlin's best coaching job probably came last year. And then they got off to such a great start this year. Things were going great, and you got the feeling that, okay, this guy cemented his, he could stay in Pittsburgh for as long as he wants. Amazing he's been around 14 years already. But as far as, does he put that much confidence in his coordinator that he doesn't get involved in this, Paul? I mean, what is his role in all of this, trying to right the ship from this day forward?
Well, that's a great question, and it always comes down, the buck stops here. The head coach,
right.
While he has coordinators and he allows them to do what they do, it is still up to the head coach as to how that offense is going to be executing its plays, how it's going to happen. And I think he's trying to rein it in. And I think that, they have kept Ben, completely, upright. Guys have been sacked in forever. He's had time to throw the football. He's getting rid of the ball quickly. But it's embarrassing. The last, I think, 3 weeks, Mike Tomlin has said, and certainly in the Buffalo game was a prime example, certainly in that second half, we were out physical. You never want to say that as a head football coach, because to me, that's on the head football coach. I mean, you better have a mentality and a mindset and a culture, which, born and bred here in Pittsburgh and the Steelers in the 70s, and I mean, you were not ever, you may get beat as a Steeler team, but you're not going to get out physical as a Steeler football team. So this finesse craft that they've kind of employed offensively, it's tired. It's not Pittsburgh. It's not Steeler football. And now, unfortunately, now that they've lost, Devin Bush, now they've lost Bud Dupree, they can't flex their muscles defensively like they could just 3 weeks ago when they had Dupree. So, you better score 30 points a game if you're going to win football games, if you're going to win playoff games. And right now, this little dink and dunk crap that they're doing offensively isn't getting it done.
Paul, I want to switch over and talk a little bit and get your opinion about the Patriots, because up here in New England, it's such a story right now. Being where they are, the uncertainty of things, we're in uncharted territory here. Newton has been a nightmare here. What do you foresee next year? I mean, Belichick, does his ego keep him here to try to right the ship, Paul? I mean, where does Newton go? I mean, where does this franchise go? I mean, they're in a very unique situation right now.
It's very difficult. And I think, Bill Belichick, I'm thinking, and you would certainly know better than I. It was like 3 or 4 weeks ago when he said, you really don't understand what's happening here. We have kept this thing as a contending team. We've won 6 Super Bowls. This was bound to happen with the cap situation and everything else and all the guys that opted out. I mean, what do you expect? I mean, the whole concept and the whole purpose of the salary cap is to avoid dynasties. You know, at some point, you have to come back around and rebuild and retool and recreate. And when you lose your franchise quarterback and, you know, both these guys, you know, Brady and Belichick, they wanted to prove, no, it wasn't me, it was him, it wasn't him, it was me. And I get all that. But I don't know if under Belichick, and, you know, I watched it happen in the 70s with Chuck Knoll, there comes a point when it's time. And, you know, when Terry Bradshaw, you know, when his elbow fell off in 1984, it took a long time until there was Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, there was a big, big void of championship caliber teams. There were a couple, you know, Cordell Stewart and some other guys had a chance to be pretty good. But until you get the next franchise quarterback in New England, you're not going to be a contender. You're not going to be who you were. And that's just the reality. And fans, and, you know, the media and everyone else, you're going to have to come to grips with that. That era is over. It's done. And now, whether it's Belichick, and I would trust him with a rebuild. I mean, if he still has the energy and the desire, there's no one better. None. There's no one better than Bill Belichick to do that. But it might be a younger man's, you know, situation. It might be, you know, like Bill Cowher rejuvenated the Steelers after Chuck Knoll. It might be time for that next guy to come in and make things happen in New England. It's been a hell of a run. I mean, bottom line, it was unbelievable. The best ever. There was no better combination ever than Belichick and Brady. Now, I don't want to mention Spygate, but I guess that did sneak out there. But there's nothing better than what they did as a combination. I mean, there's not. But if you think it's not going to end, you're delusional, because it has ended. It's over. How it goes forward, that's up to Bob Kraft and everyone else with how they want to approach it. But they're done. I mean, stick a fork in New England, because they're done.
Paul, I want to get your thoughts on Bud Dupree. You've mentioned him several times, and he's certainly, from a guy a few years ago, we sort of were scratching our heads about what we had in this guy. I was starting to feel like he was the next Jarvis Jones. But last year turned it on, this year even more so. Is he back next year with the Steelers?
No, there's no way cap wise they can keep him. You know, they've already franchised him this year, and sadly for him, that, you know, players get really irate when they get franchised. And what happened this year to Bud Dupree is why. Because instead of having long term guaranteed stability with an extension, now he's going to, you know, have to go out and get a new contract on a, you know, a rebuilt knee. And that's going to be difficult. But no, there's no way, you know, he stays in Pittsburgh. I mean, I think someone's going to realize that he's going to work his butt off to rehabilitate that knee, and he'll do a great job to do that. But no, his time in Pittsburgh is over, unfortunately. And it's unfortunate that it took him 3 years to figure out how to play the position. He developed a swim move. Developed a couple of other, you know, instead of just being a speed rusher that, you know, he would just try to beat, you know, his tackle to the outside. I mean, he had a swim move, and he did some inside things. I mean, some guys take a little time to develop. We live in a world where if you don't do it immediately as a first-round pick, you're a bust. And I'll just go back to Troy Polamalu, who really was pretty shaky as a rookie. Did, you know, why did the Steelers move up in the draft to pick him? Well, because he's maybe, you know, among the top five safeties ever is maybe why they did it. You have to give guys sometimes a little bit of time to develop. And Bud Dupree, last year in particular, along with T.J. Watt, as good a tandem as I can recall, of getting after the quarterback. Hey, I'll meet you at the quarterback. You know, we've had that situation here in Pittsburgh several times, but maybe never as dynamic as those two. And if Bud Dupree didn't have that season-ending injury, I would still be very bullish on the Steelers as a Super Bowl team. But without him, I think that's the one piece that's not going to allow them to get there.
What's your assessment on the draft? Deontay Johnson with the drops, Eric Ebron with the drops. It's like they got the yips out there.
You know, and Eric Ebron's a big tough guy out there on social media. But here's a guy that the next time he blocks somebody will be the first. And he's a pass-catching tight end. And he's a great athlete as far as running routes and getting open. But his reputation when they brought him in here was not very sure-handed. So if you can't block anybody and you can't catch the ball, I want to see a lot more Vance McDonald. I mean, that's what I want to see. Because he brings nothing. I mean, if you can't block anybody and you're dropping the ball, you're not doing anything. I mean, it doesn't make sense to me. Now, the whole Deontay Johnson thing, hopefully he had two drops, which I think may have cost the Steelers that Buffalo game. I mean, it really may have. People don't realize that maybe they get two more first downs and a field goal on their first drive if he doesn't drop that third down pass. That's a game changer. It can be. But hopefully the benching and then what he did subsequently in the second half, hopefully he's back on the path of, being a receiver that can catch the ball. Because, again, it's your job in the NFL as a wide receiver, if you don't catch the ball, you're not really doing your job very well. So they've, and maybe my obsession with them running the ball better, I might not have a leg to stand on if the receivers catch the ball better. Because they're probably 13-0 if they catch the ball, honestly.
Well, I don't know about you, but now every time a punt goes up in the air and Ray Ray is getting ready to field the ball, I'm holding my breath. Catch it, Ray Ray.
Yeah, the first 10 games, you couldn't wait for him to catch it and see what he's going to do with it. Now you just don't know if he's going to catch it.
Right.
Yeah, it's scary. And that's the whole thing about, the NFL season, just like so many other things in sports, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. We want to evaluate things in week 4, week 6, week 8, and we tell you who's going to win it all in week 8. You have no idea because momentum and everything else and injuries, things change dynamically week to week. And you have to adjust. I don't think the Steelers are left for dead at this point. They're just not trending in the right direction right now.
Bob, one more for Paul.
Yeah, Paul, I always like to pick your mind on one of the other sports. And how about the Pirates? I mean, the COVID, the whole COVID nightmare 60-game season, and the Pirates finished with the worst record in baseball. What is the...
Shocking.
Hate to bring it up. What is the whole attitude toward baseball in Pittsburgh right now? I know there's uncertainty about next year already with the season, but the Pirates, I mean, the franchise, Pittsburgh Pirate fans, I pray for them every night. I mean, it's just one of those things, It's, they're cursed. You talk about cursed. Those got to be the most loyal people in the world.
Yeah, and they're losing them. Unfortunately, they cleaned out the front office and the new regime. You're very familiar with Mr. Sherrington and what they have there. But here's what bothered me. They trade Starling Marte, who was kind of not quite where he should have been, but, a five-tool player. I mean, a great player. But they traded him for two 19-year-old kids from Arizona. And they didn't have the decency to say we're rebuilding. These kids are 3, 4, 5 years away from contributing if they ever do at the major league level, but you didn't say that you're rebuilding. So the Pirates keep praying every night because There is nothing right now. There is nothing right now to hang your hat on as far as even a 500 team anytime soon. Sadly. Now, 13, 14, and 15 happened. They had a 98-win season in there, and they were, a couple of pitches away from beating St. Louis in the divisional round. And I mean, that happened. So I witnessed playoff baseball at PNC Park, which at one point I thought I would never be able to, experience. But the next playoff game at PNC Park might be without me. I'm not sure I'm going to be around for that, sadly.
We hope you're around.
Yeah, I believe me. I hope so too, but I'm not overly optimistic at this stage.
Paul, before we let you go, let our listeners know how they can stay up to date with all the great things you're doing. Listen to you on radio and then follow you on social media.
Yeah, PAlexander44 on Twitter. I'm with you on the fan every weekend. This weekend, it's 1 to 4 Saturday and Sunday. And just do old school sports conversation, just like we do tonight. It's just, let's just talk sports. Let's be as positive as we can be. And let's just tell it like it is. I mean, it's so much fun. It's the one area where we can agree to disagree. We can be respectful yet, you know, vehemently opposed to one another. We can be fans of other teams, but, you know, we can have good, great conversation and spirited conversation and debate. And it's just a whole lot of fun.
As are you, my friend. We can't thank you enough for being generous with your time again tonight, coming back and being a part of the show. You're the very best, and we can't thank you enough for being here and for all you've done for the show over the years. We hope you'll come back and do it again soon.
Chris and Bob, I'm a phone call away anytime you need me. You guys know that.
Okay. Paul, Merry Christmas and happy holidays to you and Shelly and your family. We'll catch up soon, my friend.
All right. God bless you guys. Merry Christmas to you. Happy New Year.
Thank you,
see
Paul.
You, Paul.
All right. Take care.
That's the great Paul Alexander. On Pittsburgh sports, it doesn't get any better. Bob, we say it all the time, and certainly as we lead into the show and Paul's segment, but a nicer, more generous, more knowledgeable Pittsburgh sports fan you will not find.
And he's very emotional with his opinions, Chris. He'll tell you exactly how he's feeling and why, and he's got the facts, too, and he's just been such a good friend for so long, but he's the man. If you want to talk anything about Pittsburgh sports, Penguins included, he is one of those guys that we revere his sports knowledge, and can't wait till we speak with him again.
When Bob and I return, we'll be firing up our Thursday night tailgate spotlight on the positive here, which players are out there doing great things in their community, and then we're going to wrap up the show, and we'll do that on the other side of this real quick station break.